Another great love song, two in a row. Yes, because we're talking about love. Oh, my. Kitty Taylor was just a mess the last 2 weeks. His wife went on a family trip to honor her family, and oh, geez, we had to take care of him. Dude is so stinking in love with Carla. I'm just going, come on, can you shut up about her? We went to dinner. Couldn't get him to move on from her. It was just horrible. Come on, I love her too, okay? On and on. Good morning. Good morning. Good to be with you today. Oh, my. So since last December, the last week of December, I bought 12 tickets to see Jordan Peterson on Wednesday night of this last week. And I had some guys signed up, wanted to go, and one wife wanted to go, and she was very welcome. This guy is very cool to listen to. He's a psychologist out of Canada. Some of you know him. You see him on Instagram, and just a really brilliant guy. He went sort of through a life change a year ago, almost died of COVID in Russia, and lots of story there. And my sense is his life is moving towards Jesus. He's investigating the Bible. He's a smart cookie. I mean, everything he says, you kind of go, wow. It's just clear thinking, clear-headed. Don't agree with everything, but I don't agree with everything that you believe either, by the way. And you don't me, so it's okay. We're among friends. So Wednesday, I've got all these guys, we're all ready, and I sent a text to them all. I said, look, Jordan has been talking about we dress up a little bit to go. Some of the guys do. He doesn't ask for it, but, you know, he's trying to make capable men. He's sort of a guy who talks about masculinity and how messed up society is towards men, and so we men really like him. He's really cool to listen to. And he's kind of right in some ways. And I'm probably getting in trouble before I even start my message. So I say, look, I'm not suiting up, but I'm going to wear nice shoes and nice pants and a long-sleeve shirt. You know, all the guys. And said, hey, good, cool, got it. And thank you. And so we're ready to go. At 2 o'clock, I look at my email. And the event's canceled at the YouTube Theater at SoFi. 2,500 people. Now, I don't know why. Probably there's a death in the family or he got sick. What do you do when you're the voice for an hour and a half on stage? You just kind of go home, I guess. And so it just reschedule it for November 11th. So I told everybody, and everybody's in. And I tried to get I had a couple extra tickets at the end. I got a couple extra guys that were going to go. Now they want to go, so I have to buy even some more tickets, which is cool. But we are going to do that. And what stunned me was, and it probably shouldn't, but I'm older, okay? And on my iPhone, I went to put it in November 11th, and it was already there. And I'm texting Josh Goldstein. I say, what? He goes, dude, that's Big Brother. I go, cool. So it's only 7 months away. So get real excited, fellas and Roberta. So, today's theme, you didn't need to hear that. I just wasted a minute of our time. And if you collected that together, there's over a couple hundred of you in here. I just wasted 200 minutes. That's just sick. But I do it all the time by telling stories, and you listen. So, third proof, more. We're going to talk about more of the fact that we need to love him, and hopefully it'll break through. My mother was browsing in a store when a saleswoman offered her assistance. Just in shopping. And Mom admitted she didn't have anything particular in mind. She was just shopping, and the pair just started chatting each other up. And the woman quickly learned that my mom was retired. And yeah, it's just a cool word, retired. It just sounds good. It kind of means you have enough money to live without working. And it means that you do whatever you want, kind of. You're generally not a parent of little ones when you retire. And so you don't have that problem in life. Not that it's a problem. But it is hard. So interested, she confessed that she too was considering retirement because she was of that age and in that place. And most immediately, our mom immediately started telling her how much she liked no longer working and how the saleswoman would love and enjoy her retirement. And just kind of selling it to the gal, and finally convinced of my mom's enthusiasm, and the sales gal is sold at this point. And she looks at her, she says, how long have you been retired? And my mom said, well, today actually is my first day. You might want to have a touch more experience before you sell something. You know, just a little bit, month, 2 months in. The point is, don't be confident when you shouldn't. And what I want every one of you in this place to be is confident that you love Jesus, that you more than believe in him, that you more than trust him, but that you are actually working in your life to get to a place where you can honestly say to anybody that I have grown to love Jesus, and for real reasons, and that you've ignited that part of you that only you can ignite. When this man says he loves this woman, as many of us in this room could say about the woman that we love, it's because we choose to. It's because we've accepted no woman is perfect. I should just stop right there, right? And you know it, ladies. And we're less perfect than you because we're guys. And we get that. So let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can be in this room together and be friends and attempt in every way, any way that we can, to look to you for guidance, for understanding, for completeness when it comes to Jesus in whatever way we can be. Speak to us today through real facts, real truth, real reasoning as we try to figure out what it is you want from us, what you long for from us, what is best for us from your perspective. And Jesus, we know it begins with you. And so if we can be closer to you, more connected to you, help us see how and why, and to taste what the benefits could be. So, Jesus, in the calm and the quiet in this room, just touch us now. Let us have fun as we look into this, but let it get deep in our soul. So, Jesus, we welcome you into this room, into our lives, into our families, and we ask you to do a beautiful work in us. Draw us in like only you can do. We pray this in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Well, we're in this series making much of Jesus, as Kenny pointed out, and attempting to clarify what following Jesus is and confirming it and all that good stuff. And step one was proof one, that we are following him as we know him, where we believe in Jesus, we understand who he is a bit, at least in a beginning way. We begin a relationship with him by saying, Jesus, I want you in my life. I'm not okay alone. I need you, and I recognize that. I need forgiveness. And we're off and running with him. We know him at that point. That's what the Bible would proclaim. If we confess him as Savior, he becomes our Savior. Then step two is we begin trusting him, or we move our life that way. After getting to know him and inviting him in, we grow in our understanding of him. We gain facts and truth, and we hear promises and possibilities for us. And the natural movement is we begin to trust him. We test him along the way. We wonder, is Jesus really real sometimes? Until you're deep in, until your confidence grows to a point where there's just no question. Then step three, as we started last week, the next step is we love him. Not just know and trust him, but we love him. Falling in love with Jesus takes effort, just like it does in our world where we live, whether it's a friendship or a mate or whatever. Some keep Jesus at arm's length, and that's not the best place for him for you. It just isn't. If we want to move our faith from our head to our heart, as we mentioned last week, we need to fall in love with him. And that's up to you. And we might want to stop our time here today for a moment and say, do you want to fall in love with Jesus? And I could say, as a debater, not that we're debating, you don't have a mic and I do. Nah, 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 nah. But if not, why not? Why? Most of you already believe in him. You want to go to heaven, but why wouldn't you want to fall in love with Jesus? Well, why? hard question to give me a credible answer with. We need to fall in love with him. The first thing we talked about is that Jesus gives us reasons to love him. A couple things that are pretty cool. Because he's irresistible, because he's relentless, he's going to keep coming after you. Count on it. Because he cares for us deeply, and because he offers us eternal stability, called eternal life, heaven. We're not going to spend time on that. We did last week. If you want to go back in the Bay Cities website and get it. And he gives us three roles to play. And again, we're not going to spend time on this. To be salt in life, to be light in life, and to be lovers of people. I want you fellas in the final dinner that he had called the Last Supper, I want you to love others as I have loved you. Sacrificially, certainly. Huge request. To act like Jesus, to live like Jesus, is to do the loving thing every day, all day. To figure it out, to go after it with the best of your ability, not mine, not somebody else's. To view things through the eyes of love all day, every day. That's what Jesus wants. One man said we love others best when we love Jesus first, and it's just true. If you're going on human love alone, your love is limited. Your capacity is limited. But if you're in love with Jesus, the ability and capacity to love throughout the course of your day and week grows exponentially because it's Jesus doing the loving through you. You're just showing up. You're just sold on what Jesus wants. And if and when you get sold on what Jesus wants, it's a good day in your life, and it's a good day in the life of others. And this is really serious following I'm talking about now. So if you're superficial with Jesus and you just want to make sure you're going to heaven, if you trust him, you are. But if you want to bear fruit in your life, if you want to be close to him, if you want to have higher levels of confidence emotionally and practically in your life about who Jesus is, this is your road. There is no other road to get there. It's about your heart and him, my heart and him. Do I choose him? It's a big deal. Number three, practical ways to pull off loving him. And we pointed out, again, I'm trying to race through this, but we will serve what we treasure. And when I say love Jesus, I'm trying to get you to consider, think, move your life towards treasuring Jesus on the highest level possible. And you got to figure that out in your practical life. I can't tell you how I do it. I just aim at it. And it seems like I get closer to it year after year. And it's a very cool thing. This is all about treasuring him. Number one, we talked about hang out with others who love Jesus. Jesus cares about who we hang out with. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good company, good character. It's just truth. The reverse is also true. Don't stop listening and talking to Jesus. He's the one you want to love. If I say, Sandy, look, I love you, I'm never going to leave you, and I don't want to talk to you for the next week. That doesn't make sense. That's not okay, right? Anybody here think that's okay? Now, we can have our little battles, and we can have an hour or two of silent treatment. It happens. Usually me. But she can get quiet too, but we're not going to pick on her today. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God, all of it. This is why it has such authority to us. This is why we obey it. This is why we submit to it. When you listen to the scripture, you're listening to Jesus. Never stop listening to Jesus. Never stop studying about him. It's a wise way to live. And 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray continually. Don't stop. Pray continually. We can build a habit of inviting Jesus into our stuff. And you could have a different word there for stuff. Our life is really hard sometimes. There's some days you just don't want to get out of bed for this or that. Invite him in. Remind yourself that he's with you all day long, every day. Thus, falling in love with him more and more. And number three, learn to practice Jesus with you. This is sort of a thought theme. This is up to you, but he promises, I will never leave you, Jim. And I believe that promise. He's with me more than my wife is. He's with me more than my grown adult kids are, and I'm glad for that. And I love them. Don't misunderstand me. But he's with us every moment of the day. Talk to him. Think about him. Plant him in you. If he promises to be there and you believe he's there, why not visit him in your own way? That's part of what prayer is. It's not your list of family members and Lord bless them, Lord bless them, and cross it off. It's relationship. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. There's a sense in where I'm okay alone. Now, I'm a people guy. I like being together, but I need to be okay alone. Our senses are under attack all day, every day. Our world is noisy, and for different reasons. You know it. You got your trusted little iPhone that you spend a couple hours with or more every day. I got mine. Sometimes it's a lifeline. Sometimes it's an ability to encourage people. You just text somebody out of the blue that you haven't thought of for a while and say, hey, thinking about you. How you doing? That's not a small thing. It's not. Practice Jesus with us. It's acknowledging the presence of Jesus in your life, you to you, in our mind, in our hearts. And it's very powerful to get to this place. Do it out loud. And I wrote down in my notes, JWM, Jesus with me. So like I said, Jesus, you're my king. In your car alone, don't do it at the mall. But he still is. Jesus, I am so glad you're with me. Can you say that out loud 15, 20 times this week when you're alone? In your own way, in your own relationship with him. What if that, Jesus, I am so thankful you're with me right now. Because I really want to punch this guy in the nose. I do. I'm not gonna. But to acknowledge him with you. Place him in your emotions. When something's coming undone or there's that spring's just tight over something, anything. Say, wait a minute, Jesus, I need some help with the spring. Let some tension out, please. Something. I need you. He's beyond a lifeguard, my friends. So now to the fresh stuff. Okay. All right, number four. Practical ways to pull off loving him. Number one is fight hard and fight hard. Fight hard to stay thankful. And this is a fight, especially as you grow older, I'm finding. Nothing can transform us quicker than gratitude. Nothing. Nothing. Gratitude does something to the inside of us that we don't even fully understand. As we practice the habit of being thankful and saying gratitude, showing gratefulness, it can chase things away. It can chase things away. And some of those things are being fearful. I mean, you may still be fearful, but I can be gratefully fearful. Seriously. I still have those emotions. I can try to tackle that fear with Jesus, not just with me. And I can, again, welcome him into my emotions. It's up to me. He's there. He's present. Am I going to practice it? And welcome him into those emotions. And that fear becomes different. It still may scare me. Or the outcome may be not what I want. And crush me somehow. But at least I'm not alone. Not alone. Not alone. Being pessimistic. You ever have that problem? Oh, man, I know this. I know the story before it happens. You ever think in your mind, I told you so? To anybody? Everybody? Thankfulness stops it. Do you ever want to fix people around you? The person you live with? Just a little crescent wrench. Just a little one. Not a big one. Not a big wrench. Just, you don't want to hit their shin. You know, you just want to fix something. Dude, you have no idea what an idiot you are when you say or do that. You never say that. But that's what you're thinking. Being grateful that can chase that away. Being cynical, overthinking. I'm an overthinker. I don't know how to shut it down all the time. But I know when I'm grateful, that I get busy being grateful rather than being overthinking. That's how I'm wired. And I think about people all the time. That drive you nuts. I'm surprised I'm still not crazy. Being overly needy, are you that? Are you that? Do you know somebody that's overly needy? That is a load in life. And it can be really sweet, have a lot of sweetness attached. And, you know, you always have to ask the question, why am I serving if I'm serving? You know, am I serving to get something back? Or am I serving because I want to serve people? I want to do something nice. Or am I just like so needy, I'm crying out, please acknowledge me. And you just say something. Every once in a while, I do this. There'll be Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, and Sandy comes home. I go, how'd your group go? She goes, good, and tells me what she can and not what she can't. She's smart. I don't need to know anything else. I know way too much. And then I'll finally get to the point where I say, hey, did anybody say anything about my message? I'm just being a big baby. I'm being a big freaking baby, I'm telling you. But I'm just a guy. I'm a human just like you. Hey, did anybody throw me a bone, baby? Come on. Come on. Come on. Give me something. Oh, yeah. No, actually not. Okay, no, it's okay. I know. They're not thinking about my message. It wasn't that good. Now somebody on Tuesday will say, what was that noise Jim made? You ever obsess about something, anything, stupid stuff? You just obsess about it, and you know it's stupid, yet you're obsessing about it? Thankfulness and gratitude chases that stuff away. It's weird, but you got to fight for it. 1 Thessalonians 1, I tell you guys too much about myself. I give you ammunition. Verse 18 in chapter 5 says, give thanks in all circumstances. This is one of the most confounding, shocking verses in the Bible to me. Not my favorite, but he's telling me to be thankful for everything. The car accident that may happen tomorrow. I've faced too much pain with too many people to not struggle with this verse. I do. Yet I accept it. If God is really in control, and that's a big deal for you to decide in your life, is God in control? Is Jesus in control of all things or is he not? If he's not, then you're going to struggle all your life. If you bury yourself in that truth, it becomes different. And then I can begin to say, okay, I'm going to be thankful no matter what happens. I'm not going to like it. I might suffer through it the rest of my life, but I'm going to trust that God's in control. Hard stuff. No matter what happens, no matter what we face, live thankful. That's hard, but that's something worth fighting for. For this is God's will. What? For me to be thankful? It's God's will. It's what he wants. It's what I'm supposed to do and be. For you in Christ Jesus. When you figure Jesus out, you can begin to do this. If you don't have Jesus in your life, you can never do that. Never, never, never. Imagine living with a knee-jerk reaction of thanks to everything. That's just how you live. Every day, all day. You drive your kids nuts. That's exactly what we want to do, to make them maybe one day love the Jesus we love, if they don't. Thanks to everything, because you trust God above all. That's all I got, folks. That's all I got. I can't prove you're supposed to be thankful for tragedy, but you don't know what God's up to. You see, Jesus wants us to feel safe no matter what. And I don't know that everybody does. I don't know. When we're connected to him, he's made promises to us that I've talked about before, construct a safety net under us no matter what. Now, not everybody else, but under us that know, trust, and love Jesus. We have a safety net. So when I fall, I bounce right back up. I'm not going to fall and hit the rocks below. I'm not. Not because of me, but because of Jesus and the net he built for me. You got to visualize it for you. And maybe a net's not the right thing. Maybe it's something else, angel wings that you fall into. I don't know. Find something. Look at Colossians 3. Let the peace of Christ, and the idea of the peace of Christ is to be aware you're okay because of him, not because of you. Rule, be in charge in your hearts, This ought to be a major goal in our life, that the peace of Christ rules my heart. Again, these are choices we make. These are decisions we decide on. This is not about academics. This is about application. That I take truth and I say, this is true for me. I accept it. I embrace it. I'm going to be defined by it. I'm going to do my best to live according to it. That to me is obedience. It's not about rigidity. It's about decision in my heart. And it's powerful. He goes on, since as members of one body, we belong to God and one another, you are called to peace. This is what we're called to, not war and friction and battles and winning my way versus your way and constantly trying to control other people, which is pretty much impossible. Maybe for a time you can. You were called to peace. And then he says, and be thankful. Now, I've said this before here, but I think it's pretty significant. Could it be that without this peace in charge of my heart that I decide on, that I welcome in, I can't be thankful the way I ought to be? That somehow this peace and thankfulness go together in my life. It juggles with each other all day, every day. If the peace leaves me, I'm not going to be thankful. So the next time you're in an ungrateful, unthankful mood, you're grumpy and cantankerous and all that stuff, ask the question, is the peace of Jesus ruling in my heart? And do you go right back to thankfulness? I don't know, maybe. Jesus wants us to have this peace, and he wants us to be thankful. The idea is when he's in charge of our heart, and we allow him to be, we can have peace. We can remain thankful. But when disappointment hits, see, the big problem here is we really want control. We don't want God to have control. That's a battle for every one of us, including me. I have to make that decision. Who's the boss of my life, me or Jesus? Who is it? When disappointment hits, when bad news comes, we get challenged and we don't get our way. We do. And the answer is let the right thing rule our hearts. Let the peace that's available back in where it belongs. I think that's part of what he's talking about. How do I do that in a practical way? Verse 16, let the message of Christ, the Jesus message, the truth of God, his commands, the idea of being united in him with him in life, dwell. And the word dwell is to be at home with, among you richly. Not just be a casual observer and believer of, but it dwells in your heart. You choose that. I don't know if you guys understand, there's a young man over here, his name is Blue, and he is a spectacular young athlete. Baseball player, quarterback in Santa Monica, and God has gifted him. And if he listens to his coach as he goes into the upper years of high school, and he does what they tell him, and he stays healthy, and the great body and physicality that God has blessed him with. There's no telling how far this kid goes. He doesn't know. But if he stops listening to his coach and says, I know better than him, he doesn't even have to say it, just think it in his mind. He stops some of the promise in his life. And we do it all the time in our life. We take it back. We say, no, God's not right here. Now, we don't use those terms, but that's what we think. Hope that was okay, Blue. I didn't ask permission, but you'll be all right. He says, as you teach and admonish one another, become self-feeders. Listen to guys like Andy Stanley and learn from him. I guess the ladies are doing this series about excuses. And I don't even want to watch that because I love my excuses. I'm just kidding. And share what God is trying to say to one another. You guys teach each other more than you know. You must learn something to teach something, though. And if you guys will grab hold of what it means to love Jesus and begin to do it, you've got such gold to give away to other people for the rest of your life. Because not many people talk about this. They just don't. And I don't know why. He says, with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs of from the Spirit, singing and worship together, worshiping is key. We do it all the time. Singing to God with gratitude in your heart. If you're singing to God without gratitude in your heart, it's not
it's probably not excellent worship. And he goes on in verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, all of it, your whole life, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And thank you, thank you, thank you is all over this passage. The truth is, what we focus on expands. What we're passionate about grows. If my head desires, or if my lead desire in life is to be close to Jesus, which I want it to be personally, what flows from that can be enormous if you make that choice today, that I want to love Jesus more than anything. As a mate to my wife, as a friend to my friends, as a pastor, as a parent, as a citizen, you become a better man or better woman. We'll close this with Hebrews 12:28. He says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, it's on the screen, it's not in your notes, stop looking, that cannot be shaken. Don't ever forget that. The can't be shaken is the powerful part here. God's given us his kingdom. We're part of it. We're children of God. We belong there. We're going to be there. But it cannot be shaken. Nothing can shake it. He says, because of that, let us be thankful. If nothing else in your life, fight hard here to be thankful for that you get to go to heaven because of Jesus. And so worship God acceptably and with reverence and with awe. Looking through the lens of being thankful in life, it turns our hearts towards Jesus. It's part of loving him. If you're not willing to do this one, you're probably not going to love him the way you ought or can. Former Olympic skier, Peekaboo Street, remember her? Really powerful woman and kind and all that. She donated some money to a local hospital. In gratitude, the hospital named their emergency ward after her. It's now the Peekaboo ICU. That's kind of cute. Peekaboo, I see you. Number 5, practical ways to pull off loving him. Keep telling others your story. Keep telling other people your story. Don't ever, never stop. Never get far away from it. I told you guys my story last week. That's why I couldn't finish my message, among other reasons. You listened too well. But I didn't know. I didn't expect to tell you my story, but I told you my story. And it always just reminds you of where you come from. What has Jesus done in your life? For real. For real. It can be very powerful. It can be very powerful. As we tell others what he's done for us, it encourages others, and the truth is it encourages us as well and reminds us powerfully. Acts 11:2 says, so when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. Circumcised believers would be Jews, real Jews, who wanted Jesus all to themselves in this context, because they wanted him to come back, the Messiah, to free Israel from Roman rule and all the harshness, and that was their short-sighted view. And believe me, if I wanted to, we could probably point out some short-sighted views. Say that, like, really fast, 10 times, if we wanted, that we have. But they had that. It goes on, and said, you went into the house of an uncircumcised man and ate with him. Wow. A little harsh, these uncircumcised Jewish believers. He's speaking of Gentiles that didn't follow the law. What are you up to? This is the beginning of the gospel, the Jesus message being spread out all over. And starting from the beginning, okay, I guess I have to start over. Peter told them the whole story. Now, I didn't want to read the whole story just for time, but we did it a few weeks ago. But it's a harsh message to the Jews about you crucified. They don't like that message. But Peter simply begins talking about Jesus and what he did for him, the Jesus message. The whole book of Acts is story after story, and the same story being told by Paul after Paul gets saved. Just on and on, story after story. Of people, and what happened, and where they went, and how the gospel spread. By story. It's part of what God intended. Our story is good for others, and it's good for you when you tell it. Jesus addressed the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, where we're heading later in the year. he tells them how wise they had been and really commends them beautifully and honored them for facing hardship well and gives them some attaboys. And he then throws in, but yeah, have some work to do. Thank you, Jesus. Appreciate that. Look at Revelation 2:4 there in your notes. Yet I hold this against you. Those are pretty firm words. You missed the mark here, is what he's saying. You didn't understand. You didn't get it. He says, you have forsaken. And the idea of forsaken is you gave this away. You ignored this. You moved on from it. You left it behind. You left it behind. You have forsaken the love you had at first. When you first believed, you were so grateful. You realize that your life was changed, and now you're old, and you understand it all, and you're now the teachers of people, and you got it all together, and you're making a huge error in your life, he's saying here. Stop it. They've left their first love. There's a danger that can move in slowly in your life, and if you've been around a while, you can think back and see when these things have happened in your life. What happens is that our passions can drift. We get busy with something else, whatever it is, good things, another hobby, another relationship comes in, and COVID happens, so you just kind of stop going to church. You're on the couch, and you try to listen, and there's people doing it now, and I love them. I'm not going to go after them much. A hobby comes along, and a new couple comes along, and they really aren't church-going people, so you're gone more weekends. I don't take attendance here, by the way, and I have a checkoff. I want you to have fun. Heck, 10% of Stagecoach, our church is down there, and they're all watching me because they're so tired from staying up listening to Carrie Underwood last night. Hey, I got you. Here's what happens. Jesus stops being our focus. Right now, you're into Jesus. Right now, you are all with me, unless you're faking me out, and you just can't wait for me to shut up. But you're into Jesus right now, all of you. This is cool stuff. You want to love him. But that focus can be stolen away. Jesus stops being who he was to us. We may not even realize it. But as we tell our story to somebody else, if we find the opportunity, what Jesus has done, it's a great way to be reminded that Jesus came through for us. Oh, yeah, it was 45 years ago for me. I told you a month ago about Lamita and Hawthorne. I hardly ever tell that story. I drove by it on Friday after Sandy and I went to Kinko's. I drove right behind it. I didn't say anything to her because I probably said it enough. She doesn't want to be bugged. It keeps things fresh to us. Also, when we tell our story, it can deeply impact others because they may not have a story with Jesus. And when they hear yours, it can be a big deal. Just as the stories of others can impact and encourage us. In CR, this is an enormous part of recovery. And what it is, your story gets built over time. Your story is your story, but as recovery happens in a certain area of your life, and you gain some levels of control because of Jesus and because you've recognized it, because you've admitted it and confessed it in front of others and you've worked through it and you recognize the downside of it. And, you know, there's some conclusions that are made. There's some sisters or brothers that are with you and supportive privately over this issue, whatever it might be. And then at some point you stand up and you read the testimony of what Jesus has done in your life with this particular thing. And then as you tell it, that other people's lives are deeply impacted. And then it takes a while, but then you begin to tell it again and again. And it's one of the most powerful parts of CR, other than Jesus himself, that your story isn't hidden anymore and that Jesus really does change lives. Your story is powerful. And if you don't tell it, you're wasting things. Number six, let's keep going. Ask Jesus to reveal his love to you. Now, what we're going to What we're going to get to here is probably my favorite concept in the Bible, but it's going to be a minute, but I just want to tell you that. If we want to honestly love Jesus, we need his help. You can't do it on your own. I can't get you there. You can't get me there. We talk about it like we're doing now, but doesn't mean it's going to happen. You need to ask him to open up your eyes and your heart. You need to ask him to help you be closer to him. The evil one is dead set against what I'm talking about today, and that means you loving him. He's not terrified about you believing him. He doesn't like that because he loses access to you in your life, his life, the evil one. He doesn't like you trusting him because he's seen that before. He's seen what can happen. When we start talking about loving him, it's a whole different case for the evil one. He hates this. You got to ask him, what am I talking about? John 14:21, whoever, anybody, anyone, open to all, everybody. Whoever has my commands, access to them, hears them, reads them, is concerned about them, and keeps them, submits to them, understands they're from God. Jesus is saying, my commands, obeys them, embraces them, cares about them, is the one. So he's speaking about individuals here, not groups of people. This is up to each and every one of us in this room. Is the one who loves me. There it is. He gives you a pattern of what is needed for us to love him. Actions, responsibilities. Always gets back to love. We personally can express our love to Jesus by being connected to him through his principles and his teaching. When we do love Jesus, the results are pretty cool. The one who loves me, we've covered this before, the one who listens and follows experiences certain results, and really three things here. First, we'll be loved by my Father. You get my Father's love, you get all of it. That's pretty cool. Every parent understands a parent's love. They just do. You just do. You got it. You just love them. And he says, I too will love him. We'll get all the love that Jesus has to give. Not a bad deal. Imagine it. And then this is the kicker for me. And this has been one of those little sets of words that I've gone after for decades. Even before I fell in love with Jesus, I just didn't really understand when I believed and trusted him and taught truth. And I was that preacher that was two-thirds of a Pharisee. A nice one. But that's what I was. He says, and show myself to them. Check this out. Show myself to them. He'll deepen our awareness of him. He'll unveil certain things that without him would never be unveiled. We experience more of Jesus. One of my absolute favorite verses in the Bible right here. I want this. I ask for it. I say, here, bring it on, Jesus. I'm ready. I want to give you away. What Jesus offers and even promises here. Huge. Number seven and last. And this is just decision time. And I want you to just decide on this and then begin walking down that path, at least in my mind. And that is, stay in love with Jesus over everything. And it might be helpful to make a list of what you love and then physically put Jesus on top. This is not what you're going to want to do because we love the things we're involved in and interested in. We enjoy them, the things we're good at, the talent that we have, whatever it is. It might be really private, but we are all good at something. Stay in love with Jesus over everything. And this is it for me. And, you know, this is my job too, so I'm probably kind of cheating, but the question I have for you today is, can this be it for you? Can you consider it? It's 2022, and maybe for the rest of the year, or just through the summer. Can Jesus be it for you? Not just your Savior, but you're going to make him the love of your life. You are going to make him the love of your life, whatever that looks like. Honestly, this is what I've chosen in my life in a growing way the last 14 years. That Jesus was going to be number one in my life. I haven't always accomplished that, but it certainly has protected me. It's made me eager. Is that for me, Mike? Yeah, okay. I'll be right there. And I've chosen this, and therefore I believe I'm just an average Joe, and so can you. A question now for you to think through, and maybe write down later. What do you want more than anything? You. What are your top three things that you want more than anything? My wife really wants to go to Italy one day with me because her grandma was from there. She immigrated from there, and I'm into going to Italy. But I don't want to go. I don't like those really long plane rides. They just drive me nuts. But that doesn't top Jesus for her. But what is it that you really want? If it's this, I believe you can work towards it. Or if you could just migrate this up a little higher on what you really want. Be honest in your own life. If you're not honest, you know, this stuff doesn't work. But I think you can work towards it. I think you can have it. And I think you see a life change when you do that. Whatever is haunting you, and stuff haunts people all the time, watch your pursuit of loving him begin to take some of those ghosts and weird stuff away. I'm not saying they're going to be erased, because some things are deep and dark. Some people have been deeply hurt when they were young, and they can't get beyond it. And I just want to love them. I don't want to force them beyond it. If that's your life, I'm sorry. You need to forgive that person. But you got to move on somehow and just live. And when Jesus is you're it forever. And you decide that. And, you know, if somebody else doesn't like that, it's okay. Love them anyway. You don't even have to tell them. This can be private. Now think with me. If you've ever imagined doing what I'm asking you to do this year, what do you think would happen if you did? I mean, for real. You think it'd be bad? I love what James tells us. James 3:2. I'm a realist. In the midst of a love relationship with Jesus, okay? He says, we all stumble in many ways. I love that. Thank you, Jesus. Because I do all the time, and I don't want to think that I'm not loving him when I stumble. I'm just a guy. I'm just a human. I fail. But I know what I really want. Amen. I know what I really want. Do you know what you really want? We're never perfect. Never put unreasonable expectations on you. Jesus doesn't. But fight for the passion of your heart. If we get up every day and say, I'm loving Jesus all out, your version of whatever you say, today, just today, I can do it today. I'm not going to be interrupted. I'm going to value the people I come in contact with. I'm going to think about the one that says he's with me all the time. Who's going to stop you? What do you think you're going to lose if you do this? What do you think you're going to get? This is all about keeping the fire lit and not letting that first love and the appreciation of now I get to go to heaven, where before I really believe I wasn't going to heaven. Stay in love with Jesus over everything. Going through the motions here, by the way, if you're a guy or gal who just goes through the motions in life, that doesn't get it done here. Oh, that's Jim just being Jim today. He was cute. We need to focus on it. Love is hard work. We need to be intentional about it. It's easy to lose energy and zeal in life, especially if something's hard. Fight for you loving Jesus in your life. Fight. Fight for it above everything. It could be the secret sauce that you've been looking for. It could bring you that satisfaction you never had before. It could. You know, in life, some really believe we get what we really want, and there may be some truth to it. If you're young enough and you really want to be a 10 millionaire, you probably do it. If you won't work hard enough, we got a lot of availability with the internet world, a lot of availability. But you got to give your soul away. You got to give your life away, maybe. One dad said this: as my two sons were climbing into the back seat of the car, you look back, you parents of adult children, it's so cool we don't experience this anymore. Eric Five yelled, "I call the left side." That didn't sit well with Ron Four. "No, I want the left side. I want the left side. No, I want the left side." Intervening, Dad said, "Look, Eric is older. He can have the left side." "Thanks, Dad," said Eric immediately. "Which side is left?" "Which side is left? Which side is left?" We need to know what we really want before we ask hard. What do you really want? We'll close with Romans 8. It's just Romans 8, the last portion of it, is just so wonderful. "Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him," Jesus. He's the one that makes us conquerors, not us, the awesomeness of us, who loved us every day, all day. Just get yourself parked in him. "For I am convinced," Paul says, "that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers that exist in any way, neither height nor depth," meaning the beginning and end of time, "nor anything else in all creation," anything has been created in the whole universe. People are talking about aliens. Cool. We'll be able. I'm not denying them, but who cares? We'll be able to separate us. Nothing can separate us, rend us. You know what separate means? I'm going to separate this file folder. It can't happen. Let me show you again. It can't happen. My wife's thinking, that thing costs 15 cents. We'll be able to separate us from the love of God. Can't do it. Love that's been poured out on our behalf for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Being in Jesus is where security is found. Our future is secure. This is why we think differently than the world. And you come up against it all the time. And it can really frustrate us, but we need to realize, thank you that I think that way. Thank you for what I believe. Thank you for the way I'm defined by truth, not by emotions. Thank you that we can have such confidence. We'll close with this. One more. I got one more. I grew up above my father's tavern, a young man said. When we were kids, we would race each other down the stairs every morning to sweep up the bar and find the change customers had dropped during the night. Years later, as an adult, I found out that my father would throw a few coins over the bar for us to find in the morning. It cost him only a dollar a day to have us fight to be the first one to clean the bar. Friends, learn to work hard for the right thing. For the right thing. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that we can be together and that we know that you love us and that we can count on that no matter what. And I just pray as truth comes at us that we just take the steps we can take towards you to allow you, Jesus, from our human perspective, to be all that you are inside of us relationally. Open those doors up that only you can open. Let us see you for who you are. Unlock our eyes, our mind, and our hearts to see that when we love you, there is nothing better that we can do as we live our normal lives. So Jesus, feed into us. We love you. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great day, my friends.